you have your Bibles this afternoon, would you please turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, the gospel. We're going to be reading verses 44 through 46. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and he buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Jesus, we love you. We're thankful, God, for your blessings. We're thankful, God, for the moving of your Spirit in our hearts and our lives. Allow the Holy Ghost, God, to touch us today. Pour out your Spirit on all flesh, we pray. We give you thanks. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, The Greatest Treasure. The greatest treasure. Treasure, the very sound of the word, has been that which has driven men to great lengths in their desire to not only possess it, their treasure, but by being the one to discover a treasure which, in some cases, is one that no one else has.
Right.
One such story is told of a man named Sir Walter Raleigh, a man who in 1594, he searched in his desire to find a city of gold, El Dorado, a city told to be located somewhere in the unexplored interior of South America. El Dorado was said to be a city of unimaginable riches, with tales told of gold paved streets, golden temples, and rich mines of gold and silver. It was said that between 1530 and 1650, thousands of Europeans searched in their own desire to find the city of gold. And in concerns to Walter Raleigh, he had written the accounts of his experiences in a book. But such accounts were noted as being exaggerated in light of the non-existent legend of the city called El Dorado. So the point of the city of El Dorado was, even though it was considered as being a myth, this still did not stop many from their spending some and even most of their lives in their search for a city that never would be found.
Right.
Again, I share with you a story of a man named Ponce de Leon, who in his search for a treasure of which he had heard of, it was he who had spent a great deal of his life searching for what he thought was to be known as a fountain of youth. A search, sadly, that never materialized. A search, history records, cost Ponce de Leon his life, as it was they who of an ancient tribe who inhabited the region. They shot him through with a poison arrow. An arrow that not only ended his search, but was that which cost him his life. Driven by a passion of a possession of a treasure, obsessed with only thoughts of seeking, of finding, and coming into possession of such treasure, captivated by the desire of stopping at nothing, shy of the fulfillment of their goal, the goal that rested within the confines of their hearts as well as their minds. It was something that they ate, they drank, they slept. In their waking hours, they thought of, they planned, they sought for ways to get a hold of their treasure. They were planning on whatever it was going to cost them to find that treasure, whatever great lengths or depths or heights, whatever they had to do to obtain that treasure, they're going to obtain that treasure.
Right.
Sacrificing their personal lives, giving up, as it were, everything that to the desire of success, family, friends, life's pursuits did not possess the power to hold them back. And yet the point I want to bring to you is this. They, the people of whom I speak, were willing to do all of which I said to gain the possession of that which would die with them when it was their life that came to an end. Sir Walter Raleigh and Ponce de Leon in their time no doubt would have been considered great men of conquest. And yet both of them in the end, they died without ever obtaining their much sought after treasure. It is Jesus who warns us as he speaks to us of the pursuits of we as humanity, as it is he who outlines clearly what we should seek after. Mm-hmm. For it is Jesus Christ who in his infinite wisdom, who knows what we as a people should pursue and what we should focus our lives upon and our life's goals upon. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be reading verses 19 through 21. Here it is Jesus who says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Right. In other words, what it is that should drive you and be what causes you in your life to forgo the pursuits of all of life's pleasures, as well as the treasures that are to be found within the world. A treasure, I want to tell you, is nothing other than the greatest treasure. A greatest treasure that is eternal, a treasure that within it both has benefits in this earthly life as well as concerns to that of the eternal life to come. That's what should drive you. That's what should cause you to seek after. I want that treasure that's beyond this world. I want that treasure that I can possess within this world. The word treasure is defined as wealth, fortune, riches, and the ultimate prize. But hear me today, there's no treasure that rests within this world that you could gain that even in a breath of a moment could ever even hope to offer you. What it is that the greatest treasure that you in your earthly existence could ever seek to come into the possession of. I didn't realize that treasure was there. I didn't realize I could actually have it, Amen. Get it, and possess it Amen. In my lifetime.
Amen.
Speaking of wealth, fortune, and riches, there have been some of the wealthiest people in our world that would have been willing to trade with you all of what they, in a monetary means, had acquired for none other than the experience of true love and friendship. Not that which could come only in the form of what it is that they could buy, but what many of us who have experienced and who have experienced it take for granted. And it is within the greatest treasure of which I speak that both the gift of love and a true friendship, one that does not pass with the seasons of time, but is a love and a friendship that endures right up until where time will never end. Living in a world more and more every day that seems to be which is decaying and passing away, as it does in the lives of countless thousands of souls, it is I who believes that they who in their hearts are searching and they're seeking in their own way for that which would offer them an escape in view of all that is and that will soon come upon this world. Many seek for and they indulge in the pleasures of this life, while others pursue what they believe to be that which will bring them comfort and peace within from the trouble and the troubles of their minds. And yet all of such searches and seeking, I liken unto what it was that Ponce de Leon and Sir Walter Raleigh in their lives, what they sought for, treasures that in reality that did not exist. And in the lives of the people today who seek pleasures and who spend their lives in search of a true peace, for them that will not be found. That is outside of there or your finding and then discovering that of the greatest peace and the richest treasures that you or anyone else for that matter could have ever hoped to have found. Where is the great treasure, you might ask? How do I find it? How do I get a hold of it? How do I come into contact with this treasure? Where it is, and where is such a treasure can be found? Where? At your very fingertips, yeah. Within the reach of your very hands. For the greatest treasure is mapped out as it was revealed in a love story. One that our great God Almighty had penned in his desire for all those who would seek him to be able to both find and discover just what the greatest treasure is. Turning in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, reading verses 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints. It is Jesus Christ, our great God in heaven, who offers the riches of the greatest treasure that can ever hope to be found by any who would take the time to seek it out in order for them to invest in all that can be discovered in the very pages of your Bible. If only, as it is said, it would be you who would stop seeking for and investing your lives in that which will only become sand as it sifts through the cracks of your hands. When instead it can, and it could be you who both discovers and who possesses a treasure that no wealth in this world could ever hope to afford. I've got money. I bought property. I own real estate. And I've got opportunity to travel anywhere in the world that I want. And yet those treasures will be nothing at the end of your life. Right. Revelation chapter 22. Let's turn there to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Reading verse number 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You see, it's through the words of Jesus that John writes in the book of John, chapter 10 and verse 10 in the second portion. John writes, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Within the realm of this great treasure lies protection. There lies within deliverance. It is this treasure that cannot be bought nor sold, only inherited, as God promises to be the provider and the author and the finisher of your faith. In the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 34, Psalms chapter 34, reading verses 7 through 9. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear ye the Lord. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Right. Daily he loads you with benefits. Every day is God who blesses the people, those who've given their lives to him, those who've taken up their cross to follow him. Every day is Jesus Christ who reaches and looks for different ways to bless your life. Amen. What a treasure. I guess what I'm saying to you this day is, why would you put all of your energies, your time, and your life into that which in the end will not and will never be what offers to you, such as can be found within the realm of the greatest treasure? The songwriter writes the song, where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Oh, tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? In the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, reading verse number 27. It is Jesus who declares, peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. See, among us there are many whose minds remain troubled. Many are they whose hearts rest in fear. But there lies a treasure within there and also your reach, which they as well as you can discover, that will give to all of us a peace that passes all understanding and will be what places in and with not only there, but your heart, a joy unspeakable and yet full of glory. It is Mark who writes in his gospel in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. He writes the words of Jesus, and it is Jesus who says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Wasting your life on that which can never satisfy, investing in that which truly will not satisfy, the emptiness and the longing, the searching for that which you believe will bring you peace. You see, that is to really miss real living. I want you to know that Jesus Christ and all that he, through the riches of his treasure, offers to you will never be which fades nor which wastes away. What Jesus offers can be renewed every day, renewed in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. That Holy Ghost can be alive and fresh every day that you get up and every night that you lay your head down to rest. That Spirit of God can be what quickens you at your workplace, quickens you as you walk through the malls, quickens you as you go down the streets and you take that walk. You can take Jesus Christ with you. It doesn't stop. It doesn't fade. It doesn't waste away.
Amen.
Giving your life for Jesus Christ, allowing him as your God to forgive your sins, to wash them away in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name. Filling you with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by your speaking in an unknown tongue, is that which nothing in this world could ever hope to offer you.
Right.
To a soul in chains or bondage, freedom would likely be considered a treasure. To the hurting and to the wounded, comfort and healing would be to them a treasure. Amen. That in their lives they may believe they could never afford. To those locked in the vices of an addiction, freedom from and within would be a treasure if it could be found. It would be what they would no doubt trade for the chains that hold them every day bound. Mm-hmm. I believe that something happens to a soul whose hope is lost and whose investment of their time and their monies and their lives is what offers no returns. Emptiness fills their soul. Longing remains to be theirs, and that inner satisfaction is something that they would never find. Friend, if only you would open your ears to hear and your hearts to seek to understand just what it is that God has prepared for those that love him. Well, what has he prepared for us? What, you might ask? The greatest treasure that you and your human existence cannot even reach but can come into possession of. Because of a love of your Savior, Jesus Christ, you could possess it because he was willing to open that door of redemption as well as the opportunity of one day being with him in his paradise. That's what I'm talking about. A robe of white, a crown of gold, a heart, a home, a mansion's fair. The greatest treasure that none other could ever hope not to just discover, but to be what keeps them throughout all eternity. The song says, all the promises in the book are mine, the Bible. All of them are mine, every chapter, every verse, and every line. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. I want you to know that the pharmaceutical world does not have the answer. The monetary gains of this world will never satisfy. Coming into the possession of everything that this world can or would offer to you is that which will only in the end be what leaves you empty, barren, and dry. There is a testimony in the story of one of the richest men at one time in our world. He couldn't buy love. He couldn't do anything. He had all the money he wanted. He had to have other people taste his food before he ate it. He lived in his little prison of his rich kingdom. We live in a place where we can taste the kingdom of God on this earth and one day enter that kingdom of God in heaven.
Amen.
I searched for him and I knew not what I searched for. I longed for him, and I knew not what I longed for. But I found Jesus, and I knew that I did need search no more, for I found that longing down in my soul. I want to tell you today, when you come into the place of the possession of such a treasure, when you know that you can put your face to the ground and ask God to forgive you, and then you can stand up from that place and really feel forgiven. Yeah. When it is you who can feel that joy beginning to flow in your heart where only sickness and sorrow had used to have dwelt. I want to tell you, something happens when you find and you get a hold of such a treasure. Throughout the expanse of time, many have sought for and they've searched for the treasures of life that they in their hearts believed once possessed would bear within them, which would satisfy their soul, and really with such thoughts, many have gone on to their eternity as empty as it was before they came. I'm going to get a hold of it. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to work to achieve it, and I'll do everything. I'm going to invest my life, and yet they leave this world empty. There's nothing that this world nor all that's within it can offer you that will not leave you in want. And that's why this day, as I seek to reach out to you, whomever you are, in a desire to strike a chord within your heart, a chord that would begin to build within you a desire to seek for and to search and to discover what it is that lies within your hand's grasp. What the greatest treasure that you in your life and your searching and your bid to possess that you'll ever have had the ability to possess. It's right there. It could be right in front of you. It could be at that store that you fail to come in and out of without it in your hands. To a soul that is lost and is dying in their sins, forgiveness and redemption, along with that which offers to them a life eternal with God, would be to them the greatest treasure. Not the possessions of this world, not the temporary comfort of which this world can only afford. And yet so many are they who pass from this life into that life eternal without their being in possession of such a treasure, that each day that they, that you live, is being offered to you. It was Job who wrote in the book of Job, chapter 23. Would you turn there with me? The book of Job, chapter 23. Just before Psalms. Job chapter 23 and verse 3. He writes, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Where can such riches of his mercy and grace be found, my friend? Where? In the very presence of a mercy and a grace that he, Jesus Christ, offers to those who seek for him. For he, Jesus Christ, if you would venture to look, is easy to be found." Mm-hmm. It is said that he's as close as the mention of his name. Jesus is right there. Jesus is in the midst of two or three as they gather together in his name. See, living a life of righteousness, walking with God in that of the realm of holiness, while living in the midst of an ungodly world, sacrificing your life as it is you who gives and has given your life to Jesus Christ, as I have said this day, is what will unlock for you a treasure that one may never have thought in their temporal life that they could have possessed. It's the Apostle Paul who writes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 9. "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." What has God gone to prepare for us? What awaits us over in that glory land? Well, as it is written, what awaits are streets, real streets of gold, crystal clear gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, a mansion, your mansion, and a great feast at the marriage supper of the Lamb, found in the book of Revelation 21, 19 through 21, and Revelation 19. Look it up sometime, and look what awaits you over yonder. The best thing of all, you don't have to spend the rest of your life searching for the possession of such treasure. For it, the greatest treasure, is within your grasp today.
Amen.
As Jesus was calling unto himself his disciple, you find in the book of John chapter 1, he was calling unto him the 12. And it's John who writes in the book of John chapter 1 and verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So as it is the Spirit of God this day which quickens your heart, as it is the voice of God that's calling out to you from the words of this message, I urge you in your life to cease from seeking for earthly treasures which do not exist. For even if it was you who was able to possess what it is that you would consider a treasure, I promise you that it would not even begin to compare to the greatest treasure that our great God up in heaven has prepared and has waiting for you. In each of the parables that we shared this afternoon, what it is that remains as the focal point of each lies in the fact that the man who found one pearl of great price, as well as the man who discovered the treasure hidden in the field, both went and sold all they had to possess it. Mm-hmm. My question to all of you, saved or not, is are you prepared in your life to sell it all? To not hold back in order for you to be the one to possess in your life the greatest treasure of all? A treasure whose benefits are out of this world? A treasure that no man can take from you? A treasure that carries within it a promise from God, where he, God, is, that one day you shall also be. See, I'm talking to you this day, and I'm admonishing you in the fact of this treasure that I speak of is in your possession today. It can be in your possession today. And fare ye well in the fact that you do not have to get to that place today where you have to fall short of your attaining it. Because if it's you today who does not possess it, or maybe it is you today who is in possession of such a treasure I speak of, I pray that short of your eternal goal that you don't get to that place that you sell it in your bid to go back to the world from whence you came. And if it's you whose desire is to possess, such a treasure, it is I who's asking you just what is it that you're prepared to do in order to come into possession of the greatest treasure that's ever been offered to you. What will you give? What would you exchange? If you went into the hospital rooms of those who lied in the terminal wards, with a disease that was going to take their life, if you'd ask them, what would you trade to get your life, to live this life, to exchange the loss of your life for the giving of life? I dare say it didn't matter what they possessed, what they owned, what they had, they'd give it all. And what is it that you in your life, if you could today walk away free from the chains of sin, if you could walk away from your prison of addiction, if you could walk away from a dysfunctional lifestyle, if you could be the one today to step into the presence of Almighty God and to receive his spirit inside your soul. If it's you today who could speak in a heavenly language and be promised that God would come back for you, what would you give and what would you exchange? What would you sell and what would you let go of? This day I ask that all of you consider my words in view of the fact of what it is that Jesus Christ has and or is offering to you for a possession. Only one life, and so soon it will pass. And only what's done for Christ will last. As Sister Zotsman comes, why don't you, whoever you are and where it is that you stand in God, decide once and for all to be the one who's willing to sell all in order for you to be the one to come into the possession of the greatest treasure of all. Why don't you just make that decision? Quit playing with the world. The world's not going to hold anything for you. The world doesn't offer you anything. The world doesn't have any treasures that you could really afford. For as I said in the beginning, you'll die with that treasure. You'll die in search of your treasure. But as we stand together today, I say to you that it's time to pray. The time has come for you to consecrate, to rededicate your life afresh unto God. This is a day wherein you make the decision in concerns to your eternity and what it is that you are prepared to do in order for you, when God calls you home, that you'll be the one whose life and whose life's pursuits were they that secured for you the greatest treasure of all. Because upon such a day, when it is you who hears the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter the joy of thy Lord," won't that be a day that you are so glad that you traded what you didn't have for the greatest treasure of all? I wonder sometimes what it is that some may be waiting for. I offer to you, friend, today to come and to respond. Respond while the Spirit of the Lord is moving and prompting you for a commitment to finally possess that great treasure. Why don't you respond? Why don't you lift up your hands in your home right now? Why don't you say, "God, I want that treasure, and if I possess it, don't ever let me get to the place where I let that treasure go. I don't want to walk. I can let everything in the world go, but I don't want to walk away from that greatest treasure. I don't want to walk away from what it is that you offer me. I want to hear the words, 'Well done.' One day I want to be with you for all eternity." The greatest gift, my friend, consider this day what it is that you will do.
See you.